SpaceX Falcon 9 survives a launch anomaly. Bombardier Learjet employees vote to strike. And gas balloonist could reach the eastern seaboard. This is Aero News for Tuesday, October the 9th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. While SpaceX celebrates its successful launch to the International Space Station on Sunday night, the launch was not without a problem. Fortunately for the company, and probably for the commercial space industry as a whole, the engine problem experienced by the spacecraft as it lifted the Dragon resupply vehicle into orbit did not cause the mission to fail. SpaceX video shows one of the engines appearing to come apart during the launch. SpaceX issued a statement Sunday night saying that the incident proves the reliability of the launch system. The statement says, quote, Falcon 9 detected an anomaly on one of the nine engines and shut it down. As designed, the flight computer then recomputed a new ascent profile in real time to reach the target orbit, which is why the burn times were a little bit longer, end quote. Like Saturn V, the statement continues to say, which experienced engine loss on two flights, the Falcon 9 is designed to handle an engine flameout and still complete its mission, end quote. In an additional statement released on Monday, SpaceX said that the initial data suggests that one of the rocket's nine Merlin engines, engine number one, lost pressure suddenly and an engine shutdown command was issued. The statement went on to say that it is worth noting that Falcon 9 shuts down two engines to limit acceleration to 5 G's even on a fully nominal flight. Thus, the rocket could therefore have lost another engine and still completed its mission. Dragon is expected to begin its approach to the station on Wednesday, October the 10th, and then over the following weeks, the crew will unload Dragon's payload and reload it with cargo to be returned to Earth. Splashdown is targeted for October the 28th. Bombardier Learjet said Saturday that following an official vote, Wichita employees belonging to the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers Union had rejected a proposed labor agreement and voted in favor of a strike. The union voted to walk off the job as of Monday. The Wichita Eagle reports that 79% of those participating voted to reject Bombardier's offer and go on to strike. The current 3-year contract expired at a minute after midnight on Monday. The union represents about 825 workers at Bombardier's Learjet plant in Wichita. Union officials said that asking members to pay substantially more for their health care was the major sticking point in the proposed deal, though there were other issues as well, including the length of the contract. Bombardier says a contingency plan at the Wichita site has been implemented, and the company is working toward minimizing disruption to the production line, its customers, and the community. Well, 5 hydrogen-filled gas balloons are racing across the United States, and organizers say they could reach the eastern seaboard. The 5 international teams are participating in the 2012 America's Challenge Gas Balloon Race. The balloonist launched at about 1800 Mountain Daylight Time from Albuquerque, New Mexico on Sunday evening, and after just one full day of flight, the teams are spread out across North Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. As of 2000 hours Mountain Daylight Time Monday evening, the U.S. team of Peter Cuneo and Barbara Fricke are in the lead, having traveled just over 650 miles and were located east of the Dallas-Fort Worth area between I-20 and I-30. Another U.S. team, along with the British and Russian balloon teams, were bunched around Tulsa, Oklahoma. Those 4 teams are all generally tracking to the east, while the 5th team, also from the United States, is apparently following a different strategy and traveling north, and we're heading toward Salina, Kansas. America's Challenge spokeswoman Kim Vesley tells ANN the winning team may well run out of land before they run out of ballast, and that a flight to the eastern seaboard is not out of the question. The America's Challenge was founded in 1995. All of the balloons are flying hydrogen this year as a result of the worldwide helium shortage. You can follow the progress of the teams live at www.balloonfiesta.com. Just use the links for gas balloons and then America's Challenge tracking. The FAA has published an NPRM in the Federal Register that would amend the regulations for repair stations by revising the system of ratings, the repair station certification requirements, and the regulations on repair stations providing maintenance for air carriers. The FAA says this action is necessary because many portions of the existing repair station regulations do not reflect current repair station aircraft maintenance and business practices or advances in aircraft technology. The FAA says these changes would modernize the regulations to keep pace with the current industry standards and practices. But the Aircraft Electronics Association takes a different view, saying the proposal makes wholesale changes to the avionics industry with damaging and costly repercussions. In its analysis, the AEA says the FAA, quote, proposes to remove radio and instrument ratings and allow airframe-rated repair stations to work on radio and instrument components without qualifications or ratings. This proposal does not recognize avionics as a profession, end quote. Comments on the NPRM are due no later than November the 19th of 2012. Wind Aero News continues. Virgin Galactic takes ownership of the spaceship company. Waco goes auto. And did he screw the pooch or save a life?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, October the 9th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Virgin Galactic said Monday that it has taken 100% ownership of its sister company, the Spaceship Company, by acquiring the 30% stake held by Scaled Composites since TSC's formation under a joint venture with Virgin Galactic. This acquisition, details of which are not being discussed, marks the successful completion of a long-term strategy and signifies the end of the first phase of TSC's development. During this development phase, TSC completed the build-out of manufacturing and assembly facilities in Mojave, California, established a specialized workforce, and transitioned necessary assets from Scaled in order to begin building Virgin Galactic's commercial fleet of White Knight II carrier aircraft and Spaceship II manned suborbital spacecraft. These vehicles will be utilized for Virgin Galactic's planned Spaceline operations, which will be based at Spaceport America in southern New Mexico. Waco Classic Aircraft has won FAA STC approval for installation of the S-Tech System 55X autopilot in the Waco YMF-F5C and 5D. Waco will now be able to offer an autopilot installation in the aircraft, which will help improve the safety of flying and lessen the workload for the pilot by offering altitude preselector, flight director, and electrical trim system. The first installation in the field is in the factory demo plane, which is scheduled to attend the AOPA Aviation Summit October 11th to the 13th and can be seen there. Demo rides can also be arranged. More and more companies are offering EFBs for the popular iPad tablet device, which has led companies to devise ways for making it easy to use in the cockpit. MyGoFlight, a company focused on the iPad in motion for aviators, has unveiled new iPad jet mount kits for jets and turboprop airplanes. The mounts attach to the yoke and are available for Gulfstream, Boeing, Learjet, Beach Jets, TBM, and Pilatus airplanes. Those mounts are not permanent. They do not require tools to install, which means they do not require an STC for their use. An 81-year-old skydiving student who nearly fell from a tandem jump harness that the FAA says was not properly secured by her instructor does not favor a fine against him. Rather, she says he saved her life. The FAA says that the instructor, Dennis J. Jaclyn, did not properly secure the harness before he and Laverne Everett exited an airplane at 13,000 feet in celebration of her 80th birthday. Everett nearly fell out of the harness, but she and the instructor landed safely, according to a report appearing in the Modesto Bee. One of Everett's cousins posted the video of the incident on YouTube, and it went viral. Everett has been interviewed on the NBC Today show, and the video has been reposted by several news outlets. All that media exposure, of course, caught the attention of the FAA, which sent a notice of proposed civil penalty to McGlynn, saying his failure to properly secure the harness put Everett at risk of slipping out and free-falling to the ground. The owner of the Parachute Center, based at the Lodi, California airport, said the incident has been blown way out of proportion by the media coverage, and he says that the FAA was overreacting. He also noted that the instructors are independent contractors. Everett said she would not say anything against the instructor, who has 30 days now to respond to the FAA or simply pay the $2,200 fine. Well, as this Aerocast is being recorded, we're just hours away, weather permitting, from a potentially historic skydive from the stratosphere by Felix Baumgartner and the Red Bull Stratos Project. If successful, his free fall from 23 miles high will break the long-standing record set by United States Air Force retired Colonel Joe Kittinger in 1959. Kittinger is one of the experts assisting Baumgartner in his quest. And wishing Felix Baumgartner good luck, I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.